Last week, Michigan announced that a preliminary agreement was reached to settle multiple lawsuits against the state for its role in the Flint water crisis. If the settlement is approved, up to $600 million could be made available to Flint residents who have suffered the effects of lead poisoning after a city's water supply was redirected in 2014. Roughly 80% of the funds are earmarked for children, with the vast majority going to residents who were under the age of six at the time of their exposure. The settlement still has to be approved by a federal judge. And this leaves Flint residents continuing to grapple with the lifelong consequences of lead exposure as they await the opportunity for some financial relief. Joining me now is Leon El Alamin, founder and executive director of the MADE Institute, a nonprofit based in Flint that works with formerly incarcerated people. Hi, Leon. Welcome to The Takeaway.
Hello. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. And Nayira Sharif is the director of Flint Rising, an environmental justice organization. Nayira, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on.
Let's start with you, Nayira. What reactions have you been hearing from members of the Flint community about the terms of the settlement so far?
A sense of closure, shock, anger, and I would say most importantly, like the realization that this monetary compensation would not be enough to deal with the long-term physical and mental health impacts that our community is facing as a result of the largest public health disaster in the history of the United States.
Remind us what some of the health effects are that you and others have suffered because of the Flint water crisis.
Well, myself, I now have non-epileptic seizures. I have severe asthma for the past 3 years. I have also gotten pneumonia because of the upper respiratory issues I now face on a daily basis.
Leon, how do you feel about the terms of the settlement so far?
It's mixed. On one end, it's a sense of some form of closure. But on the other end, as you read through so far what's been presented to the public, it's some concerns. As you read into how the distribution of funding, some requirements currently right now for adults to be compensated is a major issue. On a personal level with me in particular, I feel like everyone who was here was affected in some kind of way, and there shouldn't be any stipulations or red tape to accessing any compensation that may be coming. The effects that this has done to us mentally, psychologically, you know, physically on so many levels, it's just a great first step, but it's definitely not enough. And I'm gonna be looking forward to continuing the process of litigation and looking to drive this issue in the courts with others.
So I want to talk a little bit about a couple points that you just raised, Leon, because you mentioned that according to the settlement, children who were exposed to lead are presumed to have suffered an injury. But adults need to submit a different form of proof before they get any compensation from this. Nayira, what do you make of that? I mean, you are someone who has suffered physical injury from this water crisis.
Fighting for first the restoration of democracy and then fighting for acknowledgement that there was lead in the water and fighting for just like the long-term reparations for this community has consumed 9 years of my life. And for me, it echoes back when we were fighting for acknowledgement that there was something wrong with our water. And also now that we have to prove that we were adversely impacted using census data and using the portion of the settlement that adults will be eligible for is about $1,200. And that is like a blatant insult.
Why do you say that it's an insult? Is it because the cost of your care, it far exceed the settlement payment that you would get, or other reasons?
The amount. And then also the things that this community has been advocating for as a result of the water crisis is not in existence in the settlement. We wanted lifetime health care for all residents because we are not sure what's going to manifest as we age. And one of the other things we also wanted was for everyone's pipes to be replaced, all of their internal plumbing to be replaced. And that also is not in the settlement.
Leon, you mentioned earlier that you're interested in seeing this battle continue to be played out in the courts. The proposed settlement would resolve most of the claims against the state, but there's still an ongoing criminal probe into the official response. What do you want to see happen here?
In regards to everyone that was involved from the federal, state, local, and county levels, if they knew about it, played a role and had their hands in it, became quiet behind it, they need to be prosecuted as well. This has really affected our community on so many levels, divided us, exhausted us. People have left because they can't continue to deal and move forward with this type of trauma on top of what we're dealing with COVID and so forth now. So definitely there needs to be criminal charges brought to everyone that is involved with the KWA, the water source that we was originally trying to get tapped onto before the switch came on down. You name it, they all had a hand in it. We've seen some individuals who are benefiting politically off of it, and that rubs me the wrong way, and a lot of residents in this city the wrong way, and seeing how this is played out, and it's unfortunate, you know, because we can quickly incarcerate and charge individuals for selling weed and things like that and not clear their records after this has been made legal. But here we are, a city that has been poisoned, and individuals, over 100 individuals have died, and people are still sick and suffering, and we still don't know the long-term effects, and no one has been charged. Charges has been dropped. This is a political chess move at the same time, and individuals are just finding a way to get from up under it, and I think that's a tragedy. And we definitely want to see criminal charges taking place.
Nayira, Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer released a video statement shortly after the settlement was announced. And here's a little bit of what she had to say.
We recognize that the settlement may not completely provide all that Flint needs, and that many will still feel justifiable frustration with a system and structure that at times is not adequate to fully address what has happened to the people in Flint over the last 6 years. We hear and respect those voices and understand that healing Flint will take a long time.
Your response?
It really seems very pat, because I know that I have personally spoken to the governor multiple times, and we had organized multiple waves of Flint residents to talk about the reparations and justice that they deserve. I guess, like, I'm tired of dragging my lead poisoned body all over the country to try to get justice, because it's always on people who have been traumatized to advocate for, you know, the ending of their own trauma.
The city, as well as the rest of the country, is still dealing with the COVID-19 global pandemic. How has that affected what's already been a community that's been disproportionately hurt by poisoned water?
More trauma on top of trauma. And we have a health crisis on top of a health crisis. We're losing more people. People are dying, lives that can't be replaced. This has psychologically and physically worn us out. For the state and other individuals want us to continue to just accept apologies and whatever little bit of compensation and the other hoops and hurdles that you got to go through, I think is an insult. You get to a point to where you want to break. You're tired. The effects of the lead and COVID is wearing itself out on us. And it's really a tragedy, you know, to just have individuals who come on and give nice speeches. Kind of back even when we have former President Obama came to Flint Northwest, and I was there front row and, you know, made the attempt as if he was drinking the Flint water. That was an insult. What they should be happy that hasn't happened is what we see in Minnesota, what we see in Portland, when enough is enough.
Leon, you have a young son. How has he been affected by the lead crisis and the upheaval and everything else that's been happening?
Oh, man, you know, it's a struggle every day being a single parent, raising my son. You know, he was affected from his skin, the rashes, the hair loss. And then I'm just monitoring his development as we move forward. I had an opportunity to get him away from the Flint water the last few years, and just trying to recover and just see his development. I'm really paying attention to it. It's something I'm monitoring, but it's been a struggle. It's a struggle going to the doctors, you know, medical bills, you name it.
Leon El-Alamin is the executive director of the MAID Institute, which works with formerly incarcerated individuals. And Nayira Sharif is the director of Flint Rising, an environmental justice organization. Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Since WNYC's first broadcast in 1924, we've been dedicated to creating the kind of content we know the world needs. Since then, New York Public Radio's rigorous journalism has gone on to win a Peabody Award and a DuPont Columbia Award, among others. In addition to this award-winning reporting, your sponsorship also supports inspiring storytelling and extraordinary music that is free and accessible to all. To get in touch and find out more, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.